Matthew chapter 5, if you'll remain standing there and turn there, Matthew chapter 5. Amen. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Well, that is so true. Amen. Amen. I'm still going back in my mind to that night there in that auditorium of that play. Of course, the lights were down. It was dark. I started weeping. I mean, I was just weeping profusely. That's embarrassing to a freshman in college. All his classmates around him. I was just weeping. And if I'd have done what I ought to have done, I'd have probably jumped up and run a lap, just to be honest with you. But they would have thrown me in a straitjacket. I'm sure they would have. Amen. At a secular college and a secular play going on, but they're singing a song that had the truth in it. Amen. Amen. There's something about the truth that rings in the heart of a child of God. I believe that. Amen. There may be things you have questions about, but when the Holy Ghost stamps that as true, when the Holy Ghost says amen, you might as well say amen. Just to be honest with you. I mean, that's just the way it is. Might as well agree to it. And I appreciate the truth of the Word of God. Amen. And that last song, Brother Bell had us sing there, is one of my favorites too. Amen. And I appreciate Brother Weigel writing that. I'm glad. Thank God for how Jesus cares for us. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 12. I'm going to pick out one verse and preach from that again this morning. The Bible says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." I want to focus again this morning back on verse 6. We were there last week. I want to look at verse 6 again this morning. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Bell, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for allowing us to be able to come to the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school hour and the Word of God. Pray and ask that you meet with us here in this assembly as Brother Shepherd brings the message you laid upon his heart.
Help
I pray
us.
The Holy Spirit of God will have free course in every heart. Again, we lift up those that are sick and afflicted, not in our numbers today.
Yes.
You lift them up and bring them back to our assembly, and we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. And by the way, we prayed last Sunday and last Wednesday for Mrs. Carrico, and I understand she did get to go home, so praise God for that. And I thank God for helping her when it didn't look like there's any help to be. Amen. And I'm glad God did. Well, this text that I'm looking at again this morning, I preached on it last Sunday morning and Sunday night. I didn't finish my thoughts Sunday morning. And so today I'm going to look back at that again and in a different angle. I'm not going to continue on really in the lesson that we looked at other than to give us some idea. I want to get us to the point to see what can we do or what could be done to help us to hunger after righteousness or to thirst after righteousness. In other words, what are some things perhaps that we could do or that we could allow God to do in our life that we could quit resisting God that might spur on that hunger and thirst after righteousness. So I thought maybe as we think about that, there ought to be a hunger developed.
And there's ways to develop a hunger and a thirst after God. Amen. And so I want to think about that, how to develop or assist in developing these proper desires after God, after righteousness, and after revival. Amen. Now, let me say that these thoughts I'm going to give you today, and I don't think I'll be real long, but these thoughts will not be extensive in nature. They'll be very simple. You could add to them if you'd like to, and I hope you do. Excuse me. I hope you take the thoughts that I'll give to you, and I hope that you will meditate upon them and think on them on your own. Amen. But just simple, elementary thoughts about what can be done to help, help develop these thoughts. Now, just let me say, I'm not trying to give you shortcuts, because I don't believe there are shortcuts with God. Amen. A lot of people today are looking for that. They're looking for, you know, something instant. Lord, give me a microwave meal, Lord. Let me just nuke that thing in a few seconds and I'll be done and it'll be ready. That's not how God generally works. Amen. Now, God can do anything, and He can do it in a moment. He can do it in a twinkling of an eye. Amen. But generally, He does not allow us shortcuts. So we're looking for this fact, the promise to be in filled. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There's no shortcuts, I don't believe, to that filling. My goal is, if I can give you some paths, that if you'll start down those paths and investigate for yourself the things that you come into contact with, maybe these things might inflame your desire and increase, that's the word I'm looking for, increase your thirst and hunger after righteousness, that hunger and thirst that our Lord declared to be blessed. Amen. Now, allow me to begin by talking about this appetite is for spiritual things. It's not for physical things necessarily, or fleshly things necessarily. Amen. There's a lot of the things that I'll talk about will be foreign and alien to our world today, and will even possibly be offensive to many in our world today, because we're living in a day when people say things like that. I'm talking about spiritual, in our spiritual realm. People say, how dare you insinuate that we're in need of something? Don't you realize that we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing? That's our average world today, isn't it? Amen. It offends them to think that there's some work needs to be done on the church. Can I say to you that that is, I believe, the attitude of many churches and many church folk, excuse me, in our world today. They're fine with nobody getting saved. They're fine with nothing, no movement going on, no conviction of the Holy Ghost, no remorse over sin, and no rejoicing over salvation. They're fine with just going through the ritual and through the routine. Amen. I said this last week when I thought about it. I wrote these words down this way. We have good singing to entertain us. We have good fellowship to make us feel welcomed and satisfied. By the way, you probably heard, it was on our news yesterday, I think maybe even the day before, Mr. Zuckerberg, that's over the Facebook community, said that Facebook can do what churches have done through history. Give people a sense of belonging to a group and can spur people to do good things. Facebook can do what a lot of churches have done through the years. But Facebook can't do what Jesus has done through the years. Amen. Amen. There's a whole lot more to salvation, a whole lot more to religion than just going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Amen. But a lot of people satisfied with that. That's all they've got. That's all they want. They're happy with just that. As long as somebody don't get their pew, they're all right. They sit in their regular place. They're there at their regular time. If they get to leave at their regular time, they're happy. Everything's all right. Amen. But I'm going to tell you that we need a spiritual appetite. We can boast in the fact that our preachers and our teachers read out of the King James Bible, even if we don't apply what they preach and they teach to our daily lives. We can boast of the fact that we sing out of the traditional hymnals and stick to the old songs rather than the contemporary tunes and the worship and praise songs that are so excited in our world today. And yet we feel no comfort, and we feel no encouragement, and we feel no attachment to those songs. Something wrong. Amen. We can be proud of the fact that our church still believes in prayer. Our church still has a prayer list. We still bow on our knees around an old-fashioned altar and call God's name in prayer. But can I ask you, what good is all that if we don't hear from heaven? If God doesn't move, then our prayers are not answered. Amen. Can we expect any more in these last days? What could be done to cause us to have a better spiritual appetite? Now, I believe there's four simple things that I want to point out this morning. They're profound, although they're simple, that I hope will stoke the fire of your soul and turn your heart towards God and towards the things of God that might help us to see. By the way, this is not everything that could be done, but it's at least some things that could be done. First of all, I believe the worship of God is important. The worship of God. Amen. You'll do very little for God if you don't worship Him. Amen. Amen. We'll never, never do much, never accomplish much for God out of just a simple sense of duty. Well, I have to. Well, I have to. I have to go to church. I have to go to Sunday school. I have to go to preaching. I have to sing the songs. I have to shake the hands. I have to smile now and then. I have to be... Listen, just a sense of duty will only get you so far. Amen. Amen. But when we see God as the good God that He is, when we see God as the holy God that He is, it ought to spur in us a little notion of worship. I was reading in my daily Bible reading again this week. Reading in 1 Chronicles, and it 1 Chronicles repeats some of what's said in Samuel and the Kings. And it was again the statement where David numbered the people. The Bible says, 2 Chronicles, the Bible says, Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number the children of Israel. Kings doesn't, or Samuel, whoever says it earlier, doesn't say it exactly that way. But the devil stirred up David to number those children of Israel. And the man of God came to David with three choices. You remember that? 3 years famine in the land. I forgot how many weeks it was that David would flee. Maybe 3 months that David would be off the throne and flee from his enemy. Or 3 days of the judgment of God, the angel of God in the land. And here's what David said, and this is what stirred me, and this is where I'm adding it in here. David said, "Don't let me fall into the hand of men." David's thought was, men may be unmerciful. But here's what he said, "Let me fall into the hand of God, for God delights in mercy." That's what he said. Amen. David knew God was good. Man may not be good. Amen. Man may not be good, but God will be good even when I'm in judgment. Amen. Thomas Watson, talking about it in the Beatitudes, he said that blessed, the children of God are blessed no matter what happens. He said when Shimei was cursing David, he said cursed David was still blessed David. Amen. Because he had the hand of God on him. Amen. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter what we go through in this life, troubles that come our way. If we can see God where God belongs, God is good and He deserves our worship. Amen. And God is holy. He deserves our praise. Amen. And we ought to love Him and we ought to reverence Him. And I believe when we worship God, we are motivated to serve God. Amen. We are motivated towards holiness and righteousness. Worshiping God sparks a fire that burns and yearns to please God. That drives us to holiness. Amen. Have you not had times in your life, maybe it's just meditating on the Word of God, maybe it's sitting in a service and somebody was singing, or maybe in a part of a sermon or even in a testimony, but in that moment of your life, you felt the presence of God. I mean, it was as if God was so near and God was there. And when you realized that God was there, it did something in your heart. It changed you more than the normal days going to church. Amen. More than just the other times of hearing a song or listening to a sermon, those that had changed you. And you know what it did? It sparked you to love Him more. Amen. If it's on a Sunday morning that God met with you that way, you couldn't wait to get back to the house of God for Sunday night. Amen. If it's a Sunday night, you was praying, Lord, let the preacher call for a revival. Let's start meeting tomorrow night. Amen. You was ready to come back again. You know why? Because worship stirs us towards God and causes us to want Him and long for Him even more. Amen. This event of communion with God through the Holy Ghost causes us to love Him more and causes us to strive for holiness and active service more than we have in the past. Amen. Amen. That's one of the blessings, by the way, of revival services, camp meetings, jubilees, Bible conferences, missions conferences, and even regular church services, is the fact that when you participate in those services, it stirs a hunger for God. Amen. It stirs a hunger for God. When you absent yourself from those meetings, when you skip those meetings, you allow yourself even just to be distracted, and you pay little attention to what's going on, you hinder that hunger for God. You hinder that communion with God, and you grow cold on God. And when you grow cold on God, you lose your appetite for spiritual things. You lose your appetite for holiness. Psalm 122 verse 1 says this, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I heard one man say it this way. He put it in our modern day thought. He said it's as if David's sitting on the front porch of his house drinking lemonade. And somebody says, you know, it's about church time. Let's go to the house of God. And said, David dropped his lemonade glass rejoicing and praising God. It's church time. Amen. I don't know about all that, but I do know this. He said, I was glad not when we got there, not after it's all said and done. He said, I was glad just to get to go to the house of God. Amen. Psalm 84 verses 1 and 2. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Verse number 10 of Psalm 84 says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Amen. David saying, I believe all of these are David's sayings here in these particular Psalms. David is saying the house of God is so wonderful. It stirs something in me that I want more of it when I get some of it. Amen. I'm talking about worship of God. Amen. Not only worship, but number two, the Word of God stirs our hunger for God. The Bible promotes holiness and purity. Amen. The Bible promotes holiness and purity. Isn't it amazing that in our courthouses they're scared to death of somebody having to see a verse that says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Amen. They're worried to death about that. Why? Because those words carry more weight than what that judge on the bench carries. Amen. Those words carry more weight than those lawyers and the politicians and all the other crowd that's there. Amen. Those words carry some weight, and those words call for purity. Those words call for holiness. Amen. Now, when we get to studying the Bible, maybe we just read it systematically, but we read it devotedly, we start to develop a spiritual appetite for the things of God. Amen. Listen, Brother Steve mentioned this morning in Sunday school about giving God the best. Giving God the best, not giving Him the leftovers. Amen. Can I tell you, when you will dedicate yourself and discipline yourself. For example, just in the reading of the Word of God, you'll find out that it won't grow dull and dim and lackadaisical. No, you'll get hungry for the things of God. You'll get to the fact you'll rejoice in getting to read another portion of the Scriptures. Amen. I don't know at the times, I don't know how many times I've read the Bible through, and you probably don't either. I hope you don't. I hope you've read it so many times that you don't know, but I don't this. Multiple Scriptures I've read, no doubt, hundreds of times, and yet I can read them again today and they'll be fresher today. It seemed like than they were the first time I read them. Amen. Because the Word of God produces a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. It gives us a spiritual appetite for the things of God, and it weans us more and more from the things of the flesh and the things of the world. Amen. It weans us from those things. Turn to Psalm 119. There's some verses. These young men on the front row memorized some of these verses. You probably have as well. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. I believe good words to encourage us in this thing of reading our Bible. You say, preacher, you sound like a broken record. You're talking about worshiping God, reading your Bible, praying, going to church. That, we hear that all the time. I know it. Amen. We need to hear it more and more. Because if you do it, you'll hunger after God. If you don't do it, you'll get caught up in the world. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. Here's what the Bible says. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Here's the answer. By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Amen. I'm telling you, the reading of the Bible will promote holiness and purity. Reading some books will promote all kinds of lustful thoughts, all kinds of covetous thoughts, all kinds of sensual and sinful thoughts in your mind, even rebellious thoughts reading certain books. Amen. But reading the Bible will promote holiness. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. They say that D.L. Moody said this. He said, that book, sir, will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from that book. I say, amen, Mr. Moody. Amen. John Butler said it this way. I like the way he said it. He said, quote, getting into the Word of God is like hanging around the kitchen when good food is cooking. It inspires an appetite. That's a good quote. You know, I like to spend my time around the kitchen. You can tell that. Getting into the Word of God is like hanging around the kitchen when good food is cooking. It inspires an appetite. That's probably why the Apostle Peter was instructed to instruct newborn Christians to hunger after the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Amen. If you don't hunger after the Word of God like you should, you won't grow like you should. Amen. But if you'll hunger after the Word of God, it'll cause you to grow thereby. Your mama ever put something on your plate and you said, I don't like that. And she said, eat it, it'll help you. Amen. It'll help you. You see, the Word of God is good food. It's also good medicine. Amen. Everything in the Word of God don't taste like cherry pie. Some of it tastes like medicine. But it'll do you good. It'll do you good. Amen. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. The Apostle Paul instructing young Timothy about the consumption of sound doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8. You know that Timothy's a young preacher, and Paul's telling him how to preach and how to pastor, really. He's dealing this, but he's giving him something for himself and his brethren. He says in verse number 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Look at this phrase, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Now I'm going to read some more in a minute, but here's what Paul said. Paul said, you need to eat good, sound doctrine. You need to digest good, sound doctrine. You need to consume, have a good daily consumption of good, sound doctrine. Amen. Every now and then I'll read something that I know I'm going to disagree with when I start it. I just want to see where they're coming from in their argument. I listened to a sermon, it's been a few years ago, to a sermon on Sermon Audio entitled, Why We Baptize Babies. We don't baptize babies. I was interested to see where he got a verse of Scripture. He didn't get it out of the Bible. There's not a verse of Scripture for baptizing babies in the Bible. Not one. Not one. But I was interested to see, and I could tell you what he said. They take Scripture and turn it on its head, make it say what it never said, make it say actually what it's saying not to do, and they say that's how. But I listened to what he had to say, knowing that I was going to disagree with him before it ever started, but I was interested to see where his argument was coming from, because I knew he wasn't going to persuade me, that's my point. He wasn't going to persuade me in his argument, but I was interested to see what direction he came from. But here's what Paul said. Paul's telling Timothy, Timothy, you be careful to make sure you get full of that sound doctrine. Amen. There's nothing wrong with eating ice cream once in a while, Brother Kuhn. Is that all right? Nothing wrong with eating ice cream once in a while. But make sure you don't live on it. It ain't good for you to live on. You won't live long on it. Amen. All right. So he said the consumption. Let me go back there. He's talking about nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Where unto thou hast attained. Look at verse 7. But refuse profane no wives' fables. And exercise thyself rather unto God. So he said, some things you can consume and some things you need not to. And then you need to exercise. Look at verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little. That don't mean don't do any of it. It just means don't go overboard with it. It does profit a little. Right? But godliness is profitable unto all things. Amen. So don't do a little Bible reading. Do a little exercise and a lot of Bible reading. That's what he's saying. Amen. Do a lot of ingesting and consuming the Word of God. Amen. For godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Thank God. It'll help me in this life and it'll help me in the next life. Amen. Amen. I probably told this before, but I remember some years ago hearing a preacher tell about that he was a Southern Baptist. He had been to the convention. I forget where they'd held it. This was back in the 80s. And you remember in the 70s, Jimmy Carter came out with his president's physical fitness thing, that he started getting everybody on the physical fitness side of things. And they promoted that through schools. And it got to be real, jogging got to be real popular. This fellow said he was down in the Bible bookstore and he was looking, just looking around, and this fellow comes up and he's jogging in place while he's sitting there looking at the books. And he says, the guy says to him, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm a preacher. The other fellow says, well, he said, I'm a doctor. He said, but I'm really into jogging. He said, what are you into? And that preacher said, well, I'm into preaching. And he says, well, you don't exercise? He said, well, yeah. He said, how do you get exercise? He said, I preach funerals for joggers. That's exercise. It'll profit a little. I'm not saying don't do it, and I'm not mocking doing exercise. I believe we probably need to do more than we do. But I am saying this. Don't just have a little Bible reading. That's what he said. This Word of God will help you extraordinarily if you'll have a hunger and a thirst after God and godliness. Amen. The Word of God will increase that hunger. The worship of God will increase that hunger. Number 3, the work of God will increase that hunger. Just as physical exertion produces a desire for the body to ingest more food, I believe likewise when we do something for God, it causes our soul to long for more of God. Some spiritual exercise, whether it be witnessing or praying or praising or preaching, some spiritual exercise that we do produces and exerts spiritual energies Therefore, I believe it causes our soul to hunger and thirst to be refueled. Amen. I'll give you an illustration of that. You ever been talking to somebody? Just witnessing to them. Whether you're standing at a door, you've knocked on the door, and it's, a cold call, or whether it's a loved one or somebody you work with, and you're just talking to them about the Lord. And in the process of talking to them about the Lord, bragging on how good God is, talking about the church or whatever it is, in the process of talking to them, you find yourself sending up a prayer to God saying, Lord, help this seed to find some good soil. And Lord, I pray send somebody by to water. That, you know what you're doing? You've exerted energy and given them the gospel. And your soul is longing for more, more of that energy. So you can see God get the glory out of all of it. Amen. Amen. It when you do something for God, it causes you to long for more of God. Amen. I remember several years ago, my dad's youngest brother owns a logging business. And at that time, his timber cutter was my former pastor. And my Uncle Jerry had a skidder driver. His skidder driver got hurt, and I went and filled in for him a little while. Well, he hired a young man I went to school with. We went through elementary and high school together, and he hired this young man. This young man was a good size young man. He's always big. He was probably about 6'5", and weighed well over 300 pounds, and just a big fella. And in those days, my uncle Skidder didn't have the pinchers that you grab the logs and just pull them. It had the cables that you had to get out and pull the cable and go down there where the tree was and wrap the cable around that log. And sometimes you had to dig under the log, wrap the cable around and hook it up, and then climb back up the hill and winch that thing up the hill and go off down, whatever. And when you got to the mill yard where the buck saw was and the knuckle boom was, you pull those logs in there, you'd have to get off and unhook those. Sometimes it had grabs. At one time it had the grabs. You had to take a hammer and knock those grabs out, or you'd have to unhook that cable and then get on out of the way. This young man's, his name was John. John would back the skidder down to the trees that had been cut down, and then he'd yell for the timber cutter to hook them up. Instead of getting down and hooking them up himself, he'd yell for the timber cutter to hook them up. And then he'd pull them down to the yard, and he'd yell for the fella running the bucksaw to get down out of the knuckle boom and come and unhook them. That didn't last long. They sent him on his way. Well, they called me and asked me if I'd come fill in for him a few days so he could get somebody else. And I remember I went down there and was working the first day, and it was hot and sweaty, and you know how it is. And I mean, it was a mess. And Melissa packed me a lunch. You're out in the woods, by the way. They don't have McDonald's and restaurants out in the woods. And you only got a certain amount of time. But one thing it'll do, it'll make you eat. You don't care what it is. Potted meat, vienas, deviled ham, amen. You'll eat whatever there is set before you, amen, because you're hungry. I remember I was sitting there eating my lunch, and John shows up to get his check. And John comes riding up, and I said, John, you want something? I got extra here if you want something. He said, no, I don't ever eat lunch. That's what he said. I don't ever eat lunch. Burrow, my former pastor, he said, if you'd jump up and out of that skidder a time or two, do a little work now and then, he said, you'd be glad to eat lunch. Amen. He said it right too, by the way. Now here's the point I'm making. I said all that to get to this point, not to tell you my experience or that, but it is the truth that when you exert some energy, you exert some labor working, it makes supper taste better. Amen. It makes the meals better, and you're glad to get there. Physical labor. The harder it is, the more strenuous it is, the more appetite for food, because you're burning those calories and you're burning up that and you're needing that. I'm going to tell you, when we face conflict in the spiritual realm, it is good for us because it can help us develop a spiritual appetite. Amen. We'll find ourselves wanting to pray more. Amen. Wanting to see what God said, paying more attention. You'd be amazed how voracious your spiritual appetite can be when you face a few problems working for God. Amen. And my last point is watching for God. worshiping God, the Word of God, working for God, and watching for God. Now, I said this is my last point. Don't breathe too heavy a sigh of relief. I got three thoughts under this point. I want to think on precaution under the word watching, precaution. I want to think of prayer, and I want to think of prophecy or prediction in this word of watching. First of all, watching in precaution. Some people say this. They say, watch what you eat. I do. I watch her go down the hatch. Amen. Watch what you eat. And then they say, for you are what you eat. You know what they're saying? You need to be a little discerning. You need to have a little discrimination. I know that's a bad word in our society today, but it's still, you need to have a little discrimination in what you eat. Don't eat just any old thing. Amen. Because some things are not good for you. Amen. That's what it's saying. Some things are not good for you. Be careful what type foods you put into your body. Because the right foods will produce a beneficial effect, and the wrong foods can produce a detrimental effect. Amen. Brother Bell and them's on that blood type diet. And they tell you, and I know others are, and they tell you that based on your blood type, some things don't agree with you. My wife loves lima beans. Her and her dad love lima beans. But she told me the other day, she said, I'm going to lay off. I might eat them once in a while, but I'm going to lay off them. It's not in her blood type, but she's noticed when she eats them, it makes her feel blah. Amen. I hadn't found anything that makes me feel that way. But I got a different blood type, praise God. Amen. But but seriously, there's some things that's good for you, some things that's not so good for you. And so physically speaking, they say, watch what you eat. Then there's another group called Weight Watchers. I've watched mine. This Weight Watchers is the idea, and they subscribe to a dietary plan that's crafted and marketed to control a person's weight based on the kinds of food they eat, how much of it they eat, and that sort of thing. Well, we can apply that both to the spiritual as well as the physical realm. We do need to be careful what we eat. We do know that when a person loads up on carbohydrates and fats or sugars and starches, they're prone to eat more and to gain weight. Amen. It just is natural. It's true. Good eating habits promote good health. Poor eating habits hinder the health of our body. But that's also true in the spiritual realm. Consuming sinful things hinders our spiritual growth. Hurts our testimony. Amen. Hurts the health of our soul. While ingesting good spiritual foods, good eating habits, I'm talking about spiritually, will help our spiritual growth. Make us spiritually strong and spiritually fit. Amen. If we fill our minds with gossip, fill our minds with sports, fill our minds with fantasy and movies and novels and sin, we'll find out our heart does not have the appetite that it ought to have for the things of God. Amen. Amen. F.B. Meyer said this about this subject. He said, quote, sensational novels, frivolous talk, indulgence in appetite and senses quickly incapacitate us for enjoying God. Amen. If all we got on our mind is the world, we cannot enjoy God. David Martin Lloyd-Jones said this. He said, I suggest that if we are truly hungering and thirsting after righteousness, we shall not only avoid things that we know to be bad and harmful, we should even avoid things that tend to dull or to take the edge off of our spiritual appetite. I say amen to Mr. Lloyd-Jones on that. What he was saying is this. It may not be sinful, but it might just be a weight which so easily besets us. Amen. There's some things that may not be wrong. I'm talking about just right out say that's wrong. But it don't help us towards God. It hurts us, hinders us. And again, it may be something for you personally. because of your bent and your the way that your mind works and the way your heart runs after certain things. Amen. Amen. I mentioned sports when I was, Melissa and I was first married, I was into sports. I loved college basketball, professional football, and especially Major League Baseball. Those things, I couldn't control them. Maybe I could have, but I didn't control them. God called me to preach. I was trying to live for God. And yet I was still so wrapped up in those things. And I'm not fussing at you if you're wrapped up in it other than to say, God made me cold turkey it. God made me get away from it. Forget about it. Amen. I had to. And it's not that I think that watching a ball game would be sinful today, but I know that in my bent, I'd get caught back up in it again, and I'd want to keep up with the team and all that, and I don't have the mind left to do that. I need to put good things in my mind because I've only got a limited space, a brain space. Don't nobody say amen, but that's still right. Amen. Well, I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that. Watching in precaution. Secondly, there's watching in prayer. Now, I believe that's the most common application of the word watch. We find it very often in the Bible. Watching and prayer tied together. Just look with me. If you're in Matthew 5, turn over to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 38. Our Lord links these words together. Matthew 26:38. Thus saith He unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Jump down to verse 40. And He cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Over in Mark chapter 14, you don't have to turn there, verse 38, he says the same things. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. This idea of watching in prayer, that'll help us in our spiritual appetite. The more we pray, the more we'll long for God. There's a hymn that's popular in a lot of our churches. It's in the church hymnal. It's in our hymnal as well. Written in 1858 by George Duffield Jr. Entitled, Stand Up for Jesus. The second verse, here's what it says. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, and here's my phrase, and watching unto prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Amen. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Watch in precaution and watch in prayer. And then lastly, watch in prediction. And that involves the fact we know the Lord's coming. And we should be watching for His coming. Watching involves purifying ourselves. Again, Matthew 24, if you want to look there, we were in 26, go back to 24. Matthew 24 deals with prophecy. Our Lord speaking. Verse number 42. Matthew 24, verse 42. Watch therefore. For ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. If your daddy gave you a job to do while he was gone, sometimes you wasn't as diligent as you should be, but you tried to keep a watch on him coming back because you knew if he came back and the job wasn't done, you was going to be in trouble. Amen. So you kept a watch. That's what our Lord's saying. He's left us a job to do while He's gone. And He's saying you need to be careful of what you're doing. And that'll develop a spiritual hunger and a spiritual appetite. Look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 13. Again, our Lord speaking. Verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know not, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Turn to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. I'm talking about watching in prediction that our Lord's coming. Mark 13:32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, look here, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Our Lord saying as a precaution. Our Lord saying as in prayer. And our Lord saying because of the prediction, we ought to be watching for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ought to encourage us in the things of God. One last one. 1 John chapter 3. We've looked at this on Wednesday night. 1 John chapter 3. Verses 2 and 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Look at verse 3. This is the important one. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Amen. You know what he's saying? If you want your spiritual appetite to be encouraged, get to thinking about the fact that Jesus is coming back. Amen. Get to meditating on the fact that He's left us with a job to do, and He's coming back to judge how we've done that job. It ought to cause us to hunger and thirst after God even more. You see, if we really believe that Christ is going to come in our lifetime, or even if we believe that He might come in the next moment, really, if we believed His coming was imminent, He could come at any time, it would cause us to be alert and aware about how we're living and what we're doing. Amen. Amen. I believe it calls us to hunger to be ready. I believe it calls us to thirst, to be holy and to be pure when He shows up. Amen. And it calls us to have a desire to do something for God. Amen. This watching for the prediction of Christ's return will cause us to reject the appetites of the world and the flesh and the devil. Amen. Brother Milby sings a song. We play it on our radio sometimes. It says, talks about the world. He says, I could care less if I could buy it all with a solitary dime. For what good would a world do me with leaving on my mind? Amen. The things of this world don't seem near as important when we think about the fact Jesus is coming. The things of this world don't seem near as appetizing, as appealing when we realize Jesus is coming. If we'll watch for God, I believe it'll encourage and strengthen our appetite. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, as they come with a song. We have a moment of invitation. If the Lord's speaking to you, I want you just to obey Him. If He's calling you, I want you to run to Him. If He's calling you for salvation or for service, surrender, run to Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for helping us with these simple thoughts. Father, I pray that You would guide and direct now in these moments to come, or to help us to surrender our heart to Thee. Help us, Lord, to work on this thing about hungering after Thee. Help us to worship like we should. Help us to get in the Word like we should. Help us to be about Your work as we should, and help us to watch. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. while we sing and wait on the Lord, if the Lord spoke to you, would you just obey the Lord and do whatever He says do while we sing?